Good morning. My name is Dan, and I'm one of the pastors here. Today, as we've said, is the fourth Sunday of Advent, which means that Christmas is almost here. This is and always has been one of my favorite times of the year, from the Christmas cookies to the Christmas songs to the gatherings with friends and family and altogether too much food. Love all of it. But I have to say that my favorite part of this time of the year growing up is actually something that most kids who grow up here don't get to experience. Snow days. All right, how many people here have had a snow day? Okay, yep, so you're all not from here, right? Snow days represented the best of living in Minnesota in the winter. It was sledding on the hills, it was snowball fights, it was hot cocoa by the fire, and obviously no school, right? It doesn't get any better than that as a little kid. But in Minnesota, you learn from a young age not to get too excited when you go to bed and it's snowing. Because if you go to bed and it's snowing, the plows are going to run all night, and as long as it's not still snowing in the morning, life will just go on as usual. But if you woke up in the morning to 6 to 12 inches of fresh snow and it was still coming down, then you knew that you had a chance, right? If we woke up here tomorrow morning in the Bay Area and there was half an inch of snow on the ground, life would stop, right? Businesses would shut down, nobody would go anywhere, everybody that did leave their house would end up in a ditch, it would just be chaos. Not quite that way in Minnesota. But those mornings that we would wake up and the snow would be coming down heavy, I remember so clearly, my sisters and I, we would get up and we would go into the living room and sit on the couch in the living room looking out at the street. And we would be watching the snow come down and we would turn on the radio, right? Because this is where school closure announcements were made. Not the internet then, this was the radio. We would listen as the announcer read through the list of schools that had been shut down in alphabetical order. And you're just waiting. Is today going to be a snow day for us? And in that period of waiting, we knew that we were either about to get the best news imaginable or be completely crushed, right? Are we headed to school or are we headed out to play in the snow all day? And so we would sit there listening, waiting to see would our school be closed today. And on those days where it was, my sisters and I would jump for joy. We'd run, we'd bundle up, and we would be out in the snow playing for hours. This morning, we have been considering the story of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. We've had a few passages read already from Luke 2, where this story is told. We've seen Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem because of the census that was being taken. They made their way through the town, but all the hotels and Airbnbs were booked, so they found a barn in the back of somebody's home. They let them stay in this barn. It was there in that barn that the baby Jesus was born. And he was laid in a manger, a feed trough. Out in the hills nearby, there were some shepherds that were watching their sheep. And as they were there, an angel appeared and told them what he called good news of great joy. A Savior has been born, and he is Christ the Lord. This was the announcement that the Messiah was here. Right? People had been waiting years and years and years for this promised one from God to come to earth and to make things right, to bring freedom and redemption to his people. The shepherds heard that this Messiah was here. And as I think about that moment, I think back to those mornings of waking up with snow falling down, wondering, was this going to be, am I about to get the best news imaginable? But even on those days where school did shut down, that news was nothing. Nothing in comparison to the news that the shepherds heard on this day. So let's pick up this story in Luke 2, reading verses 15 to 18 to see what happens next. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The first thing that the shepherds do when they hear this announcement is they come and see. They come and see Jesus. They've heard the good news, and so they make their way to Bethlehem. They wander their way through the streets. They find this stable. They make their way past the cows and the goats and the sheep to the manger. They gather around this manger to come and to see the one who had been spoken of. And then from there, they go and they tell. Right? They came to see, and then they went to tell. They go and tell everybody about what they had seen and heard. I'm always amazed when I hear this because this is the pattern, this is the strategy that God has used since that day to build his church. Come and see, go and tell. Right? Some people came to see Jesus, and then they go and tell others about him. Come and see, go and tell. It's so simple, and yet it's so profound. This is how God builds his church. This is how God spreads the good news. But this is really the way that all good news spreads, is it not? Somebody comes to see something, and then they go and they tell somebody about it. The new Star Wars movie just came out a couple days ago. Has anyone seen it yet? A few timid hands. They don't want to, yeah. We know you're the diehard fans. We know you are. I haven't seen it yet. I hope to see it soon. But before I do, I'm not going to stand up here or anywhere and tell you that you should go and see it, right? But if I do come to see it, and it's good, and I like what I see, then I'm going to go and I'm going to tell you about it. Or better yet, I'm going to invite you to come and see for yourself. Right? This is just the way that good news spreads. So think about the time that you first heard about Jesus. Maybe that day is today. Maybe for you that day was 50 years ago. Maybe every day of your life, from the time that you were young, your parents have told you about Jesus. In any case, this is the same way that you heard. Somebody came to see Jesus, and then they went and told somebody about him. And that person came to see and went and told. Come and see, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. Over and over and over and over again until somebody came to see Jesus and then went and told you. And here you are today. That news that you were told is the same news that these shepherds heard in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. A Savior is born, and he is Christ the Lord. But this pattern of come and see, go and tell, doesn't tell the whole story, right? It doesn't explain everything, right? What is it that after the shepherds came to see Jesus actually motivated them to go and tell people about him? What is it in your life that as you came to see Jesus would motivate you to go and tell others about him? There's something that happens in between come and see and go and tell. There's something that has to happen there if the pattern is going to continue. And I think we can summarize it in a simple word. Behold. Behold. To behold something is to see something impressive and to be amazed. Right? It's to see something fantastic and to be in awe of that. And this is what happened with the shepherds all those years ago. They came to see and they were amazed. They were captivated by what they saw. It left them just saying, wow. Wow, God. Wow. This is amazing. There are so many things this time of year especially that try to capture our attention, right? That try to grab our hearts and pull us in. New products, new technology, right? New deals, all of these things going on. I was at the mall the other day, which is very strange because I do almost all of my shopping online now, but I actually had to go and pick up some. I ordered it online, of course, but I went into the physical store to pick it up. And as I'm walking through the mall, there are all these things around me that are grabbing for my attention, right? Trying to get me to say, wow, wow, that's amazing. I need that, right? The iPhone 11, wow, wow, that would be nice. The smell of fresh baked cookies, wow, that smells good. A new pair of slippers. I walked past these slippers. I don't even need slippers, but they were 70% off and they looked so cozy. I'm like, this is, wow, that's a great deal. Maybe I should get some slippers. But we all know the reality with all of these things, right? The iPhone, it's outdated in 6 months. The cookies are gone in 30 seconds. The slippers, you bring them home, they sit at the bottom of your closet, never to be seen again, or eventually they wear out if you do wear them. None of these things are really capable of grabbing and holding our attention, of amazing us in a way that we are meant to be amazed. The truth is that there's only one thing that can captivate us in that way. And that thing is a person. That thing is Jesus Christ. But what is it about Jesus that is so amazing? What is it about Jesus that is meant to capture us? What is it specifically about the baby Jesus that as the shepherds came to this manger, as they saw Jesus, what is it about him that caused them to behold, to be amazed? One of those things, I think, when we think about the incarnation, we think about God being born as a baby, one of the things is just the sheer power of God. That the baby that lay in that manger is the same God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the same God that spoke and stars were created, who breathed and life itself began. He's the God who holds the universe together, who keeps the laws of physics operating as they should, who keeps our hearts beating moment by moment. That same God here in a baby. Last winter, my family and I went up to Tahoe for a weekend to enjoy the snow. And at the time, we had a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old. So we were trying to figure out what do you do in the snow with a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old? Skiing seemed like a bad option. But we thought snowshoeing we can probably handle. And so we grabbed the hiking backpacks, we strapped on the snowshoes and headed out to the trail. Here's a picture. This is my 2-year-old Peyton on my back. And we're making our way down this trail through these beautiful trees. We go about a mile, make a little bit of an ascent, and get to this scenic overlook where we come across this. Just like, wow. Wow. And in that moment, I was reminded of God's power. I was struck by his power. The power to create mountains and valleys. The power to send a storm that would cover all of this in a beautiful white blanket of snow. Right? The same God who did that, the same God with that kind of power, was lying there in a manger as the shepherds came to see. But this baby, like any baby, didn't stay a baby. Right? He grew up to be a man who rebuked the winds and the waves, and they stopped. A man who called out to Lazarus from the tomb, Lazarus, come forth, and he came. Right? He healed the sick. He made the lame to walk. This is that baby there in the manger. Wow, God. Wow. The power that was there. Alongside the power of God, the birth of Jesus highlights the humility of God. See, it was no accident that Jesus was born as a baby. It was intentional. It was very intentional. The Apostle Peter tells us that from before the foundation of the world, before creation itself, this was God's plan, to send Jesus as a human, to be born as a baby. This was God's plan all along, that God would leave his throne, that Jesus would leave his throne in heaven and come to be born as a baby. Do you know what would happen if you put the baby Jesus in a sled and sent him down a mountain? He would scream like any other baby would, right? He would fall out like any other baby would. He would get cold. He would get frostbite. He would get hypothermia. He would die like any other baby. Jesus was a real person, a real baby, a real human baby. He was fragile. He was defenseless. He was dependent. completely and utterly dependent. The creator of the heavens and the earth chose to put himself in a situation where he had to have his diaper changed. Right? That is humility. But the incarnation is just the beginning of what we learn about God's humility. Because that baby would grow up to be a man who would be a servant of all. He was friends with people who were dirty and smelly, who had infectious diseases, right? Who everybody else looked at and said, I'm not going to have anything to do with that person. But Jesus, with no regard for his own reputation, said, these are my people. These are the people that I came to save. That is humility. There was something about that humility that I'm sure captivated the shepherds that day. And it's supposed to captivate us as well. That as this baby Jesus grew up and his enemies rose up against him, he didn't defend himself. He didn't fight back. Willingly, he took the beatings. He took the insults. He went to the cross, the creator of the universe. That's humility. Wow, God. Wow. Unimaginable power and unimaginable humility. Why did Jesus do that? Why would Jesus leave his throne in heaven to be born as a baby, to live among us, to live the life of a servant, to die the death of a criminal? Why would he do it? Because he loves us. Because he loves you. Because he loves me. He did it for love. This is why Jesus came, because he loved us so much. He wanted to know us so badly, just to be with us, that he decided to come down and to live among us, to become one of us. He wanted to have a relationship with us forever, so he went to the cross to pay the price for our sin and to open the way for us to be with him, in loving relationship with him forever. It's amazing. The writer of Hebrews tells us that it was for the joy set before him that Jesus endured the cross. That joy is joy in you. It's joy in me. It's joy at the idea of being able to have a relationship with us forever. Wow, God. Wow. That you would do that for us, that you would come down and live among us, that you would give yourself for us. It's supposed to amaze us. It's supposed to captivate our hearts. So come. Come and behold him this Christmas season. Let Jesus captivate your heart. Right? Open yourself up to him. Spend time meditating about his power, his humility, and his love for you. And just be amazed. Just sit in awe of that. And after you have come to see, and after you have beheld Jesus and just said, wow, then go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody about him and invite them to come and see for themselves. Invite them back here in 2 days on Christmas Eve to have an encounter with God here, to learn something about God's love for them, to just come and see what God might do. Come and see, go and tell, behold Jesus. After the shepherds go out and tell everybody about Jesus, we read this in verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. When you have an encounter with the Holy God, when you have a relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth, who lowered himself to the lowest place imaginable, right? When we come to understand something of this God, the only response, the only natural response is one of praise and worship. That's what the shepherds did that day in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, And that's what we're going to do today as we continue our service this morning. And so I want to invite up the band as I pray, and just give us a moment to praise God and to behold Jesus for who he is. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you left your heavenly throne and you came down to live among us. That even though all power in the universe is yours, you were willing to set that aside for a time and to be born as a baby. Jesus, that is so amazing. That is so incredible. Lord, we know that you have done this because you love us. Lord, help us to encounter your love. Help us to be amazed, captivated by your love this Christmas season. Spirit, we ask that you would do this even here today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.